Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Leak detection, and so much more. Right now, get a drain cleaning with a free camera inspection for $99. When it comes to your comfort, you deserve the best.
You deserve the best. Best Care Home Services.
This is Mayor Jim Strickland. We have recently seen an increase in the number of COVID-19 cases in Memphis. We are now at a critical point in the fight against this virus. For months, you've heard me and the medical experts talk about the need to wear a mask and a social distance. But there are those in this community who, for whatever their reasons may be, are not taking this virus seriously. I'm here to tell you they should. You can't argue with the numbers. The choice is yours, to put yourself and others at risk or to do the right thing. Wash your hands, practice social distancing, wear a mask when out in public, and please, if you have any symptoms, stay home from work and get tested. Testing is free and locations are available throughout the city. To save lives and to get this community back to work again, it's going to take each of us doing our part. Stay safe and stay strong.
The best.
Awesome. Yes! The best radio stations in America live on radio.com. Atlanta's V103, number one for hip-hop and R&B. The world-famous 106.7 KROQ, LA and Orange County's alternative. Chicago's finest rock, 93 XRT. Alice at 97.3 with the Bay Area's best music and lots more. Find them and listen to what you want when you want on radio.com, on your desktop, smart speakers, or the free radio.com app.
92.9 FM ESPN presents the area's only national columnist who spends his afternoons bringing unique perspective to Memphis radio. He'll make you think. He'll make you laugh. He'll sometimes make you change the station if children are around. And he apologizes in advance for that. It's 4 o'clock. Let's get into it. This is the Gary Parish Show.
All right, I'm here. My name is Gary Parish, speaking to you from Memphis, Tennessee. Bennett Doyle's producing the program. Glad he's with me. Glad you're with me. Hope you're getting through the day just as best you can. Bennett Doyle.
What's up?
I was on a Zoom call with Grizzlies head coach Taylor Jenkins this afternoon, and he disclosed that he believes he's operating under the impression that every member of the Memphis Grizzlies is going to travel to Disney World and try to hold on to the eighth seat in the Western Conference standings. So I think it's something we've expected to be true, but you never know till you know. I thought all the Lakers would go. We know that's not true. I thought all the Clippers would go. That might not be true. But according to Taylor Jenkins, head coach of your Memphis Grizzlies, Ja Morant and all his best friends that wear Grizzlies uniforms are going to go to Disney World. Get into it momentarily. First, though, quickly, let me set this afternoon's schedule for you. 425, Ryan Silverfield is the head coach of the University of Memphis football program. Made a big statement last night when it was announced his players will have Black Lives Matter stickers on every helmet this season. Far as I know, Memphis is the first program to commit to such a thing, so that's something to be proud of. And I'll talk to him about it in the next segment. We're going to do it right around 4:25. Finish that. I'll take a break, come back, do four notable stories, 4:44, at which point I'm going to discuss four previously undiscussed stories. Among them, Rick Pitino, the Hall of Fame coach, jumped on Twitter today and said something that I and others have been saying for months now, and something I said as recently as yesterday, and that is that we should push college athletics back to at least January to buy us some more time. I will say that this idea, at least as it goes with college basketball, it seems to be gaining momentum. We'll get into that around 4:44. The Ivy League has confirmed reports that it is considering pushing fall sports to the spring semester, and it will decide one way or another next week. So that's going to be a big decision, regardless of which way it goes. We'll get into that a little later on this hour. Bradley Beal spoke with reporters earlier today, Washington Wizards star, acknowledged he's still unsure if he's going to go to Disney World, but also on that question and answer session, disclosed a story of his uncomfortable interaction with law enforcement officials, one that happened just a few years ago in Washington, D.C., where he is a superstar athlete. I'll give you the details on that just before 5 o'clock. And another possibly interesting documentary in primetime on ESPN tonight. And this one has got a Grizzlies connection. I'll tell you what it is during four notable stories, 4:44. 5 o'clock, Jeff Cock is just like always. Then I'll eventually do dinner to go, and I'll get on out of here. So that's the rundown. We got a lot to get to, but I wanted to start with Taylor Jenkins' Zoom call this afternoon. There were, I believe, 25 media members on it. I was one of them. Good to see everybody's faces, the people who allowed you to see their faces. There was no earth-shattering news, but Taylor did say that he is under the impression that all of his players are prepared to go to Disney World. So, like I said, we've assumed that for a while, but like I said yesterday, I also assumed every player for the Lakers, which is the projected number one seed in the Western Conference, I assumed all their players would go, but Avery Bradley said, I'm not going. He's putting family first. I assumed all of the players on all of the contenders would go, and yet we know that that's just not the case. But when Taylor Jenkins was asked about it earlier today, he said that he believes that all of his players, all of the Grizzlies players, are planning to go to Disney World and compete for a spot in the Western Conference playoffs. So I don't know that you've got to be relieved by that necessarily, but it's you never know till you know, and we didn't know until Taylor Jenkins said it today. So that's good news, right, Bennett?
Yes, so absolutely.
So you get that from Taylor Jenkins, and I'll be honest, there wasn't a whole lot of other earth-shattering developments from the 20 minutes or so that we spent with Taylor, but I think I can tell you that Ja Morant did not test positive for the coronavirus, which is worth noting because he had been playing, and I thought about this when I started seeing the highlights on Twitter. Like, I promise you they're not COVID-19 testing everybody that walks into that gym. And now he's out on a court, getting up and down, dunking, passing, sharing a ball, high-fiving, talking, yelling. You know, it doesn't guarantee that you will contract the virus, but it's certainly not the safest way to be. Now, Ja, just like the rest of us, has to make his own decisions about what he wants to do and what he doesn't want to do and what he's comfortable with and what he's uncomfortable with. And at this point, as long as you're wearing a mask when you're at the grocery store, I'm not here to judge you. I don't understand why you can't put a mask on at the grocery store or any other place. But, like, as long as you're at least doing that, I'm not here to judge you. Now, if you're having, like, a 75-person party at your house, then perhaps I'll judge you. But, you know, we all have decisions to make. I can acknowledge that up front. But when you see the videos, you go, ooh, I hope nobody in that building on that court has the virus, because if somebody has the virus, then a basketball game seems like a pretty good way to pass it to somebody else. And I say that I think I can tell you Ja Morant did not test positive, although the Grizzlies have not announced anything in either direction. And Taylor Jenkins was asked about it today and also would not say anything about positive test or negative test. relying instead on what seems to be an organizational decision, which is we're not going to get into it. It's privacy matters. We've just decided as a franchise, we're not, you know, some franchises will say we've had X amount of players test positive. The Grizzlies won't even do that. They're not going to say we've had one, we've had seven, we've had something in between, and we're not going to tell you who they were if you even think you know that we had somebody. So he wouldn't talk about who tested positive, who tested negative, although he did say, all I can tell you is that we are following protocol. And what that suggested to me is that, clearly, most people tested negative, but if somebody did test positive, then they are being handled the way that they are supposed to be handled, which I would assume is, you know, quarantined, isolated for a period of time until they can get multiple negative tests. But in talking about other things, specifically, I think Anthony Sane, who hosted the Jeff Calkins show this morning, asked the question. When asked specifically about, you know, when the guys come back into the building, whose body looks different, Taylor Jenkins said that when he was in the building earlier today, multiple people asked him, have you seen Ja? The point being that Ja Morant has indeed added muscle that is noticeable. And I guess I would just connect the dots this way. If people are asking Taylor Jenkins, have you seen Ja? That means Ja's in the building. And if Ja's in the building, that means he tested negative. Because if he tested positive, he would not be in the building. Am I doing great detective work on
That's
this, Benny,
point,
or am I
GP.
Doing great
no,
detective
I
work on this?
I think you're accurate here. That sounds good to me.
So, listen, if Ja Morant or any Grizzly did test positive, like in late June, early July, it's not necessarily the worst thing in the world because given that all players are young and healthy and in shape, they should be able to recover relatively quickly and well. That is what we think we know about this virus right now, that if you are young and healthy, you may never have any symptoms, even if you test positive. But if you do have some symptoms, what the data shows us is that you're going to get over that. So anybody testing positive right now isn't going to be ruled out of Disney World. But it is, again, if we're putting things on a board, things we're glad to hear, things we're not glad to hear, connecting these dots to reach a conclusion that Ja Morant seems to be A-OK as it relates to this virus, again, we'll put that in the good news column. Other good news column items, sounds like Jaren Jackson, Brandon Clark, Justice Winslow, all players who were banged up, if not injured completely, when the season was suspended back in March, sounds like they're good to go.
It's awesome.
Awesome. And also sounds like Grayson Allen, who was ruled out. You might remember the Grizzlies never said Grayson Allen's done for the season. But I guess it was when Justice got traded to the Grizzlies. And suddenly you've got, like, the entire 2015 Duke National Championship team.
God, that's right.
On the roster. Mike Krzyzewski was speaking on it, talking about his former players, whether it's Tyus Jones or Grayson Allen or in this case, Justice Winslow. Mike Krzyzewski said, you know, Grayson's there. Now he's out for the season, but, like, he's still there, and, you know, that's another a familiar face for Justice, so I think Justice is going into a good situation. In other words, Mike Krzyzewski inadvertently ruled Grayson Allen out for the season, at which point we were all operating under the assumption that Grayson Allen would not play anymore in the 2019-20 season. And he still might not. But Taylor Jenkins said he's healthy right now and in theory could play, but we won't know until we get down to Orlando and we're allowed to play 5-on-5. That's the other thing about what's happening right now in these facilities all over the country, whether it's the Grizzlies or the Bucks or the Raptors, although the Raptors is not in this country, but you get the point, is that just because they're open for business, it's not do what you want to do. It's a little bit like a NCAA college basketball situation where there are times when you're allowed to be in the gym, but there are still incredible restrictions on what you're allowed to do. For instance, and I'm not completely up to date on the latest college basketball rules as it pertains to off-season workouts, particularly under these circumstances. But once upon a time, and perhaps it's still true, like there'd be a certain point in the calendar where you could have players in the gym with coaches, but it was limited to like three players at a time, and you're mostly just doing individual stuff. You couldn't have your whole team on the court at the same time. Now, with college basketball, that wasn't because of virus concerns. You know, in 2018 or 17 or 16, it was just because they have rules for everything, and that was the rule. Well, there are rules, that NBA franchises have to abide by right now. And so they're not allowed to just, hey, we're back in here. Good to see everybody. All right, let's get some five-on-five going. They're not allowed to do that right now. And I don't believe they'll be allowed to do that until they get to Disney World. So what Taylor Jenkins, the point he was making is Grayson looks good, says he feels good, and I'm paraphrasing a bit here, but this was the message. But we won't know for sure until we, you know, until we can actually get up and down the court. And that's going to be the other thing that's interesting to watch, because though, you know, Bundesliga is back and the EPL is back, I haven't watched much professional soccer since it's been back. Like, sometimes I'll have it on, but I don't follow it closely enough to know what the stakes are when Chelsea's playing, when Chelsea's not playing, right? Mm-hmm. So I don't have a favorite team. So it's on. Like, I had it on today, just sort of as background, but I don't follow it closely enough to have an opinion on this one way or another. But I do follow people on Twitter who follow it very closely, people on Twitter who I respect. And one of the things they've noted, specifically one of my editors at CBS Sports, Adi Joseph, who's a big European soccer fan, one of the things he said he noticed is that the endurance just is not back, even several weeks into the resumption of the season. There's a noticeable difference in the way players are performing because they were not participating in actual matches for a significant amount of time. And it doesn't matter how much time you spend on a treadmill, how much time you spend eating right, how good a shape you keep yourself in, there's no way to replicate an actual soccer match without being in a soccer match. Similarly, there's no way to replicate an actual basketball game without being in a basketball game.
Right.
And so, given that they're not even allowed to play 5-on-5 until they get to Disney World, like, some of these early games in these seeding games really might come down to, like, just who is best adjusted to actually play 48 minutes of professional basketball at a high level. And it also might come down to depth, because if you've been going full speed, you know, October, November, December, January, February, March, you've played 82 basketball games. Well, you are used to playing basketball every other night, 3-4 times a week. Your body is used to it at that point. You haven't played for months. Now you go down to Disney World. You can't even play 5-on-5 till you get there. And then you got just a few weeks to get ready for actual games. Like, under normal circumstances in an actual playoff game, LeBron James is ready to go 42, 43, 44 minutes if he needs to. Can he do that right now? At his age? I mean, that's a guy who keeps himself in tip-top shape. But I bet you his minutes and everybody else's minutes, at least at the start of this thing, and perhaps deep into it, are going to have to be a little less than they normally would be, simply because you're not in actual basketball shape. Again, if it's true for soccer players, and I'm just trusting my friends who are soccer fans, if it's true for soccer players that they, even the best in the world, I mean, we're talking about Premier League guys, guys who are at the top of their sport globally, if it is noticeable that they can't play the way they used to play because the endurance is not where it once was or otherwise would be, then I would assume the same thing will be true for basketball players. And so it'll be interesting to see who adjusts well to that, who doesn't. And I really do think if you're looking for reasons where maybe the Grizzlies can do something down there, they're young. You know, I think everybody will have an adjustment period after such an extended period of time off. But young guys should adjust more quickly. I mean, I can just tell you as an old guy, it was a few years ago, I used to play indoor soccer. and I was one of the oldest guys on the team. And it showed. I got tired a lot more quickly than the younger guys did. Like, I found out pretty quickly the key to winning in this adult indoor soccer league, have as many 20-year-olds as you can have. That's what we'd always run into. Our team was older, and I was one of the older guys. And the other team would always have, like, two 20-year-olds, and they could just run for days because they're 20. Big difference between being 20 and 30, between being 20 and 35. You know, there's a big difference between, I would assume, how quickly Ja Morant can get back to where he was as opposed to somebody in their 30s is going to be able to get back to where they were. So that's going to be another thing to watch. And to circle back to the initial point, if Grayson Allen gets down to Disney World, participates in these 5-on-5 situations, and look like he's ready to go, then we actually might see him as a part of the rotation, trying to get the Grizzlies in a place to secure that 8th spot in the Western Conference standings. Last thing I'd touch on before we get to Ryan Silverfield, Taylor Jenkins was asked about the format, and he said what I think is the right answer and the way most Grizzlies fans feel, that he's happy with the format. Before it was announced exactly what it was going to be, I think most Grizzlies fans, and myself included, thought that it was going to be inherently unfair to a franchise that had a 3.5-game lead. And the truth is, they put in a system that gives the Grizzlies credit for the lead that they have, puts the Grizzlies in a situation where, unless they absolutely do nothing down there, they are almost certainly going to be in a position to either just be the 8th seed, period, end of story, or being a play-in situation where you're the 8th seed and somebody's going to have to beat you twice as the 9th seed to get past you to play the Lakers in the Western Conference playoffs. As we've said many times, based on most of the data available, the Grizzlies are more likely to play the Lakers in the first round of the playoffs under this situation than they would have been if the coronavirus never existed and the season was never suspended. And so I wasn't surprised that Taylor Jenkins said he was happy with the format, because I do think the format is beneficial to multiple franchises, but quite clearly, in my eyes at least, the Memphis Grizzlies are one of those. I'll talk more with Jeff Calkins about it a little after 5 o'clock. When we come back, big announcement from the University of Memphis last night. Tiger football team is going to have Black Lives Matter stickers on every helmet this season. Obviously, that does not happen unless Ryan Silverfield wants it to happen. He'll join me on the other side. You listen to the Gary Parrish Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
I've worked hard to get where I am today, and I won't let anything keep me from moving forward. That's why I signed up for My City Rides. For just $90 a month, I can lease to own a brand new motor scooter that gets me anywhere I want to go. That's cheaper than a car payment. My City Rides taught me how to ride safely, and if anything goes wrong with my scooter, they take care of it for me. No more waiting around for a ride. Now I can cruise where and when I want with the wind in my hair and the sun on my face. Get started at mycityrides.org.
Join music superstar Becky G Thursday, July 2nd, live for the 2020 Census Concerts That Count. The Census helps inform where billions in funding go for each year, from health clinics to highways, school programs, and more. That's why an accurate count is so crucial. Take the census now. Shape your future. Start here at 2020census.gov. Join Becky G's live performance with appearances by sports greats Marvin Jones Jr. and J.J. Barea on July 2nd, 6 p.m. Eastern.
Jay Farner here, CEO of Rocket Mortgage. Making the right financial decisions has never been more important. When you turn to Rocket Mortgage, we can help guide you to those right decisions now when they matter most. Mortgage rates are near historic lows, so now is a great time to call 8338-ROCKET. And if you need some extra money, a cash-out refinance could give you that financial boost you're looking for. Call today at 8338-ROCKET or go to rocketmortgage.com to learn more.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
I absolutely love my dog, but the constant shedding, not so much. But then I got a Swiffer Sweeper pet kit, and it is amazing. These super thick cloths pick up a crazy amount of hair. Just look at all that. And that was from just one swipe. And the best part? Sweeper's so much easier to maneuver than a broom or a vacuum, easily getting around chairs and under the couch. You're right. Now I can focus on you, not your shedding. Swiffer Sweeper Pet Kit. Because shed happens.
Imagine a coffee cup. It may seem small, but it comes from a small business. One of thousands on eBay, powered by millions of people, all working to get you exactly what you want. That's no small thing. That's everything. Get your thing on eBay.
Hey, this is John Martin, and July 4th is coming up. It's America's birthday. It's my birthday. Now is the time to get your fireworks for July 4th festivities. The place to go, Boom City Fireworks. They've got the largest selection and biggest discounts of fireworks in the entire Mid-South. There are two air-conditioned locations, 3rd Street South and Getwell at State Line Road. Both are open daily from 8 a.m. to 12 midnight. Monster reloadables are 25% off, and power candles are only $3.97. So get on out, head to Boom City Fireworks. That's Boom City Fireworks.
There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Stay home when you are sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects with household cleaning spray. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Stretch my hands to you.
Life like, this is what your life like. Try to live the life right. People really know you push your buttons like type right. This is like a movie, but it's really very lifelike.
Hall of Fame basketball coach Rick Pitino jumped on social media today, said it's time to do the smart thing, and that's move the college basketball season back to at least January, not even pretend they're going to try to start it in November. Created big headlines. We'll get into it in the next segment. Jeff Calkins will be here a little after 5 o'clock, but right now he is the head coach of the University of Memphis football program, and last night that program made a big announcement. It is going to have Black Lives Matter stickers on every helmet of every player this season. His name's Ryan Silverfield, making the big interview.
Award-winning writers, athletes, coaches, the biggest names in sports. It's the Gary Parish Show Big Interview. Presented by Fleming's Prime Steakhouse and Wine Bar. Using food and wine to create memorable times.
Ryan, it's Gary Parish. How you doing, man?
Good, Gary. Thanks for having me on today.
Now, I appreciate you being here. So, listen, big announcement last night. I think the response to it has been, for the most part, really positive. You guys are, as far as I know, the first college football program to commit to doing something like this in the upcoming season. Talk me through it. How do you reach this decision?
Yeah, you know, I think as these things start to occur in society, I know they've been going on for a long time in our country, but as it's been brought to light, and I've continued to try to learn and to listen. So that's one of the things I've tried to have discussions with as many of our student athletes as I can, and to kind of get a feel for what they're feeling and what we can do to support them and help with this matter. And, you know, a lot of them asked that we could do something on our helmets or our uniforms this year. And so, you know, we broached the topic. We wanted to use our logo with something, and we wanted to make a difference and stand for something. And so, first and foremost, the helmet decal on the back of the helmets is not in support of any organization. It's not a anti-police statement. It's not a far left-wing party, Marxism, any of those things. It's simply a show of support, like we've put on the back of our helmets for many things that we supported over the years. And our players believe in it, and it's something they wanted to do, and I'm all for it.
Once your players broached the topic with you, and you obviously have handled every issue that you've been faced with so far, I'm speaking for myself, really well, and you are obviously going to be understanding of this, then what happens? Do you have to take it to Laird Veit, your athletic director? How far up the ladder does it have to go?
Yeah, I mean, we discussed this throughout the university. Anything that's going to be on a uniform, there's things that they I'm able to do as the head coach, but there's also things that I think are worth discussing with the higher-ups. We've got wonderful leadership. Obviously, it starts with President Rudd, who's done a phenomenal job. We've got great board of directors and trustees, and Laird Veit, our athletic director. So, you know, constant open lines of communication, the thought process and what we're trying to do. And, you know, the biggest thing, like I keep coming back and saying, this is in support of the players. That's what this means. This is something they wanted. Again, this is not supporting an organization, anything of that, a political statement or party. This is simply saying, just like the same way that Nick Saban said and Mike Krzyzewski said, Black Lives Matter, and we're going to support our players during these times and at all times.
Talking to Ryan Silverfield, head football coach at the University of Memphis. I mentioned earlier that the response has been mostly positive, and it has. But there's always somebody, you see it, I'm sure, as much as I do, to the people who are not in agreement with this type of message, who say, whether they mean it or not, and I suspect that they don't actually mean it, or they were never going to be there for you to begin with, to the people who say, this is bad for business, this is not something I'm going to support, what message would you have for them?
Yeah, again, look, my number one job as a head coach is to be there for our football players, right, and to serve our football team and our program. And this is another method that I have to be able to serve, you know. And, look, I want our guys to be loved on and off the field for everything they do. They're wonderful human beings and leaders in our community. And, you know, again, support them just like you would regardless. And, again, the whole thing goes back to this is simply saying that they're important. And that's what I want everybody to know. And for those people, guess what? We did a unity march that was peacefully done and well thought of. And look, when we did that, I got emails, texts, calls from all over the country saying, wonderful job. Well, I also got some hate mail. Yeah. I also got some people telling me they were disgusted that I would do such a thing. And that's always going to be the nature. You look, after the Cotton Bowl, I had people rip me for a third quarter play call. You know, that's the nature of this deal. And you know, we've been very open and transparent about it. We're not going to sit back and be a reactionary team. I think we're seeing that a lot of times people throughout the country are being reactionary to these things and trying to be walk on eggshells. Well, meanwhile, you know, we're trying to be ahead of the curve and do things the right way and what we believe and not wait around to see what everybody else does.
Do you take some pride in the fact that, as far as I know, you are the first major college football program to commit to something like this? I'm sure somebody else will, but the fact that the University of Memphis is willing to go there first, I'll just speak from my perspective. As a graduate of that school, it makes me proud. Does it make you proud?
Well, I take great pride in the fact that our young men, our student-athletes, are able to speak up and voice their opinions. And I think that's the biggest thing. Is, like I've said all along, as the head coach, I need to continue to do a better job of listening and learning and seeing what I can do. And this is one of those things. So I take a lot of pride in that. I take a lot of pride in that. You know, last night when that was on, you know, got produced on social media and shown, again, I got calls and texts from all over the country. And like you said, the majority of them were very supportive. A lot of thank yous from Black head coaches in college football, some NFL coaches thanking me. And so I think, and then most importantly, our players, very grateful. Again, it's all about the support and moving in the right direction. Maybe it makes a little bit of a difference in this society.
I only asked this question because people asked it of me, because your BLM sticker, it is not the traditional Black Lives Matter logo that we see. This is actually gray and blue. The B and the L are a B and an L, but the M is the University of Memphis logo with the leaping tiger. It looks sharp. People ask me, is that something I'm going to be able to buy on a T-shirt? Because I would like to have that BLM T-shirt. Do you know if that's going to be available in Tiger Bookstore or anywhere else?
Yeah, I'm going to leave that up to our marketing department. You know, obviously there's a lot that goes in with merchandising, sure, and, you know, contractual stuff. So, you know, a lot of people have reached out and said they love it and they'd like to be able to support it and wear it. But again, that's going to be up to our marketing department and the merchandise and the contracts that we have with that. And all that's a little bit out of my league on that one.
Sure, I understand. I'm talking to Ryan Silverfield, Memphis football coach. Just in general, like being a head coach at this level for the first time is stressful and consuming. I can't imagine what it's like doing it under these circumstances. We are in the middle of a pandemic and also a real civil rights movement. What's it been like for you juggling all this while you're also just trying to get used to being the face of the program? I don't envy you.
Yeah, well, look, I'm very fortunate to be in this situation, so I'll make no bones about it. I'm thrilled and honored to be the head coach of the University of Memphis, and it's a wonderful place to be in, a wonderful position that I have. But I did mention to someone, you know, talking to head college coaches throughout the country, a lot of them are saying this has been the most stressful couple months of their entire careers. I mean, we've talked to guys who've been head coaches for 15 years, 10 years, 5 years, and they all come back and say, this has been the hardest because there's so much to navigate through. You know, I'd say that my trying to keep a level head and my stress down, but, you know, there's a lot of thoughts that go through. And, you know, with the pandemic and with the social injustice issues and, you know, with the NCAA not technically allowing us to see our guys face-to-face, you know, so we're still handling academics. There's a lot of things that are occurring, you know, on a day-to-day. So I actually have been getting less sleep now than I normally do during the season or even that I did preparing for Penn State and the Cotton Bowl. So on high alert and rightfully so. But, look, we're going to do this things the right way. We're going to handle things the right way. And it, like I said, always come back to making sure our players are taken care of on and off the field.
The hard work is obviously paid off. Anybody who follows recruiting knows that. What is it like recruiting under these circumstances where you can't bring people to campus, you're not sitting down face-to-face with anybody? What's it like trying to convince players Memphis is the place for them without being able to pursue them in a traditional way?
The great thing is the University of Memphis has been able to sell itself, right? We've started to be able to come up with a tradition of a winning program recently, you know, and kudos to those people that came before us. But the facilities are obviously continuing to get better and better. The indoor practice facility, we've got a lot to sell. This is a beautiful place. And the city, I mean, gosh darn, there's so many wonderful things we can sell about this city and the people. You know, it's the people that make this place, and that's one of the reasons why I stayed. We've got the best fans in the country. And so, you know, all those things that are occurring, you know, you talk about the internship opportunities that the University of Memphis has, you know, being seventh in the country. And then as coaches, we've got to develop relationships with these young men that, you know, that we are recruiting. And I think a lot of them take pride in that and, you know, being able to develop that relationship, understanding what they're getting themselves into when they come to the University of Memphis. And it's got a lot of strong selling points. So it's certainly has challenges, but I like the direction we're holding. And hopefully we can keep making some notches on that belt, and we'll see where this thing ends up when it comes signing day.
I'm wrapping up here with Ryan Silverfield. He is the head coach at the University of Memphis, of the University of Memphis football program. Last thing before I let you go, you know, you're a smart guy. You follow the news. We are having spiked cases all over this country in the majority of the states. If you read whether it's Pete Thamel at Yahoo Sports or Dan Wolkin at USA Today, guys who cover the sport of college football on a national level 365 days a year, they are talking to people, and those people are less optimistic today than they were, say, a month ago, that we're going to be able to either start the college football season on time or conduct it without serious interruptions. If somebody were to come to you, and I know these decisions are made way above your head and mine as well, but if somebody were to come to you and say, listen, maybe we should push this back to the spring to give us more time to better understand what's happening, to perhaps, you know, get a vaccine ready, what's your outlook on the 2020 college football season as we sit here on July 1st?
I'm an optimist. You know, I think that we're always going to do what is best for the safety of the student-athletes. I think that's got to be our number one concern. And look, if we deem it unsafe to have a normal season or to start on time, we won't do so. But if our student-athletes feel like we'll be able to put them in a position where they can be safe and healthy and well, then I foresee a college football season occurring as normal. What is normal? I don't know. I think there's going to be obviously a lot of things that occur. You know, I've been fortunate. My wife is a fourth-year medical student, and she's actually took a leave to actually volunteer at Church Health here locally on their COVID task force team. And so, you know, I get to see the day-to-day things, or she discusses, you know, what's occurring, especially in Shelby County. And, you know, it's a real concern, obviously, throughout our city and throughout our country. But again, you know, we've also had the fortune of being able to test, you know, 186 people in our program. They all came back negative, and then, you know, we were able to, since we've been doing voluntary workouts, be able to test some more guys that, you know, need to be tested, and it's, knock on wood, it's all been the results that we want. So, you know, we're going to keep monitoring it, you know, make sure that we're, you know, we talk to our young men about, you know, social distancing, wearing masks in public, and making great decisions. So, look, I'll continue to remain optimistic, but we'll always do what's best for the health and welfare of our student-athletes.
That is Ryan Silverfield, head coach of the University of Memphis football program. Ryan, Continued success. Again, as an alum, I'm appreciative of the way you're leading that program, of what you did with the Black Lives Matter sticker on the emblem. And please tell your wife also, thanks for working at Church Health. That's an amazing place. And if she decided to take a leave to work there, it suggests that she's an amazing person as well. Appreciate it.
Well, thanks so much, Gary. I appreciate you having me on. And for everyone listening, let's continue to wear our masks so we can have football. And I hope everybody stays safe and well.
Thanks, Ryan. I'll see you soon, hopefully.
Thanks so much.
All right, buddy. Okay. Bye-bye. That's Ryan Sommerfeld, head coach, University of Memphis football program. When we come back, speaking of pushing things back, Rick Pitino, who obviously has a big voice, not only in sports, but, you know, Rick Pitino is somebody everybody knows for one reason or another. And he jumped on social media today and said that it's time for the people who make decisions as it relates to the sport of college basketball to make the smart decision, and that's to push the season back and only play conference games. In other words, eliminate your entire non-conference schedule. Let's focus on playing conference games, and let's not do it until January. I can tell you that from talking to other coaches around the country, that is an idea that is starting to gain momentum. We'll get into it next. You're listening to the Gary Parrish Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
I've worked hard to get where I am today, and I won't let anything keep me from moving forward. That's why I signed up for My City Rides. For just $90 a month, I can lease to own a brand new motor scooter that gets me to school, work, and anywhere else I want to go. That's cheaper than a car payment. My City Rides taught me how to ride safely, and if anything goes wrong with my scooter, they take care of it for me. No more waiting around for a ride. Now I can cruise where and when I want with the wind in my hair and the sun on my face. Get started at MyCityRides.org.
At Sprint, we understand saving money for your family is now more important than ever. That's why we're offering our best unlimited deal. Switch and get four lines of unlimited for just $100 a month. That's right, four lines for $100. Plus, the plan includes Hulu, 500 megabytes of mobile hotspot, DVD quality streaming, and more. If that's not enough, we're throwing in four Samsung Galaxy phones on us. And now, Sprint customers enjoy access to expanded coverage on the T-Mobile network. Shop from the comfort of your home at Sprint.com, call 800-SPRINT-1, or come see us in our stores. Phone after $35.42 per month credit for 18 months credit. Apply within two bills. If canceled early, remaining balance due. Unlimited basic after $731.21. Pay $35 per month per line with autopay. Data deprioritization during congestion. Coverage and offer not available everywhere. Excludes taxes, fees, and roaming. Speed maximums, use rules, $30 activation fee, and restrictions apply.
Enjoy a fun farm-to-table experience with today's Perks Deal. Half off $50 to Belly Acres Restaurant. Belly Acres is the family affair in Overton Square. Get yours at getmyperks.com.
Yeah, we're all busy with important things to do. But don't forget, it's also important to laugh. Laughing keeps you sane. So for your sanity's sake, check out Comedy Now on radio.com.
After college, I moved into my own apartment. It's near where my parents live. It's across the hallway.
Comedy Now plays nonstop stand-up comedy from the best comedians in America.
I'll tell you what place I like on the plane is that little bathroom. It's like your own little apartment on the plane.
Listen to Comedy Now anytime on radio.com, on your desktop, smart speakers, or the free radio.com app.
The dog days of summer have finally arrived, and after we all just lived through that shutdown, it's time to get out and get a few things for the season. Where are you going to do it? You already know. It's James Davis in the Laurel Wood Shopping Center. This is Gary Parrish reminding you that we have one of the best clothing stores in America right here in Memphis, and right now prices are slashed, so right now you'd be wise to stop by. All of the summer merchandise at James Davis is marked down anywhere from 30 to 50% off. So if you need some new shorts or shirts for vacation or even for that next Zoom meeting, James Davis has you covered. All summer sport coats are now 40% off, and the Paul Battinley suit special remains available. Those suits, and I own like three or four of them, they're regularly priced at $5.95 each, but you can get two right now for $7.95. And those stand custom-made shirts I've told you about for years, they're now 20% off. It's an incredible deal. And as always, James Davis provides free alterations, so everything fits perfectly every single time. It has never been more important than it is right now to shop and support local businesses. So go visit James Davis in the Laurelwood Shopping Center on the web, jamesdavisstore.com. Memphis is known for its barbecue, but only one Memphis area restaurant actually serves World Championship barbecue, and this is Gary Parrish reminding you that it's Memphis Barbecue Company, which has reopened at 50% capacity. They've instituted sanitation procedures greater than what the CDC and Health Department require, including a three-step approach to sanitizing tables so you can get back inside right now. So go order online at memphisbbqco.com.
The motto for world-class competition has always been faster, higher, stronger. It's the same for Navien, makers of condensing tankless water heaters. Faster to install and set up. Higher performance and efficiency to provide endless hot water. Stronger with the industry's strongest warranty. All because of the copper-free stainless steel heat exchanger built in every unit. Learn about Navien's condensing tankless water heaters and find a Navien contractor at tanklessmadesimple.com. That's tanklessmadesimple.com.
Think about this little bicycle bell. It may seem small, but it comes from a small business, one of thousands on eBay, powered by millions of people, all working to get you exactly what you want. That's no small thing. That's everything. Get your thing on eBay.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
The God Killer, this Tokyo, and I'm Godzilla. Playing blackjack versus death, gun on the car dealer. Just bought a demon, I'm screaming about the car dealer. The last temptation of Mike, but I'm a God digger.
Boom City Fireworks, they got two locations. One is on 3rd Street South, the other is at the corner of Get Well at State Line Road. I bring it up because it's the week of July 4th. In fact, July 4th is on Saturday. So if you're going to be a parent who has young children who look up to you, you're gonna have to get fireworks. Otherwise, listen, your kids' friends' parents are gonna get fireworks. You gonna be the one that doesn't? I wouldn't. So you might as well go to Boom City Fireworks. And here's the great situation. They're open from 8 a.m. to midnight. So you can go before work, you can go after work, you can go early in the morning, you can go late at night, and you don't have to shop outside when it's 95 degrees with 90% humidity. Air-conditioned buildings, that's what they have at Boom City Fireworks. You can get everything. Sparklers, Roman candles, firecrackers, assortments, reloadables, rockets, plenty of red tag discounts throughout the store. Please visit the Boom City Fireworks Facebook page for more details. Just go to Facebook.com, get in that search box, Boom City Fireworks. It'll pop right up. Jeff Calk is going to join me a little after 5 o'clock, but right now I got four stories I'd like to discuss.
Four notable stories at 4:44. Gary tends to lose focus, start telling stories, and forget what he wanted to talk about at certain points every afternoon. So we've developed a device that ensures he'll touch on important things you need to know each day at this time. This is GP's four notable stories at 4:44. Story number one.
Hall of Fame coach Rick Pitino jumped on Twitter earlier today and he tweeted the following. Suggestion to the NCAA, push the start of the season back to January and only play league games. Buy some more time for a vaccine and to get things under control. Although I can't wait to be back on the sidelines, the health of my players and staff is what's really important. End of tweet. It was retweeted nearly 700 times, got about 3,000 likes. Folks got their jokes off because, you know, it's Rick Pitino and everybody's got a Rick Pitino joke. But that aside, he's not wrong. It's the smart thing to do at this point. You know, we've talked about college football season a lot over the past few weeks because it's bigger and it's closer. But college basketball is scheduled to start right after it, you know, in early November. And there is no reason to think that we're going to be able to do it. Perhaps at all, but certainly not without big obstacles and big problems. I mean, you can keep lying to yourself if you want to. And that's what a lot of these administrators have been doing for all summer. Mm-hmm. It's what they've been lying to themselves. Pretending, like, oh, the president earlier today, by the way, also, like, doubled down. Remember what he said at the very beginning of this? I think it'll just disappear at some point.
I saw it today.
Okay, yeah. He said it again today.
He said he hopes it just goes away.
Well, yeah, well, that, you can keep hoping it's just going to go away. Just like I hope somebody drops $50 million in my backyard tonight. Neither of those things is going to happen. These things don't just go away. Like I saw Dr. Fauci being interviewed by some dimwit, you know, several months ago, And this person was like, well, it could just go away, couldn't it? He was like, no. I guess anything's possible, but no. That's not what this does. It doesn't just go away. And what we found is that even the idea that it would lighten up once it got warmer, it's just not true. Mississippi, Texas, Florida, it's hot as hell outside.
Yeah.
The numbers are going through the roof. And so it's time to stop lying to ourselves. Oh, yeah, Champions Classic, looking forward to it. No, you're not. We're not doing the Champions Classic. Sure as hell not doing it with fans. Like one of my wife's friends went over at the house past couple days, and she's got tickets to go see Baylor Ole Miss. She lives down in Texas. She's got tickets to go see Baylor Ole Miss. I guess it's played in Arlington or wherever it's supposed to be played. She's like, you think I'll go? I said, probably not. I mean, maybe. I don't know. But it doesn't look like it. Doesn't look like it. Now, football is a different animal, although I'm of the opinion they should maybe push that back as well. But it seems they're going to at least try to give it a go. Mm-hmm. But with basketball, think of it in these terms. Most power conference schools, University of Memphis included, the games that they play in November, December, what are they? I'm not trying to do a pop quiz, but what are they?
Out-of-conference games.
They're out-of-conference games, but more specifically, they're bye games.
Yeah.
They're where you pay Arkansas Little Rock to come in and play you. And you pay Jackson State to come in and play you. And you pay Murray State to come in and play you. That's what the majority of your November-December schedule looks like for Memphis, for Kansas, for Duke, for Kentucky. Now, why does that happen? Here's why. I'll answer the question. The reason schools like Memphis do that is to build a home schedule. Like, if you think of it, hey, we're just in our non-league, we're just going to do home and homes with big schools. So, like, we'll do a home and home with Ole Miss, home and home with Tennessee, home and home with South Carolina. Well, it cuts down on the number of non-league games you can have in your own building because for every one you're playing at home, you got to play another one on the road. Like, Kentucky barely goes on the road in the non-league schedule. It's like Rupp Arena, Rupp Arena, Rupp Arena, Rupp Arena. So the reason you play the bye games is so you can have more home games. And the reason you want to have more home games is to build a home schedule that you can sell a season ticket package around. The more games, the more money you can charge. Mm-hmm. So what you do is you tell Jackson State or Little Rock or South Alabama, you say, hey, we'll pay you $85,000 or $100,000 or $110,000, whatever the numbers are. You just come play us. We never have to play you again. We don't ever have to come to your place. We owe you nothing except a check. So you pay them the check, $85,000. And then you go sell that game as part of your season ticket package. And whatever the average cost of a ticket is, if it's $20 a game, $30 a game, $50 a game, you make that money back and then a lot more. That's the purpose of these bye games. That is what most power conference programs use their non-conference schedule to do. They pay people to come play them so they can make it a part of a season ticket package so they can create revenue. That's the motivation. Now, understand that and then understand what we're going through right now. You think we're going to have fans in FedEx Forum in November? Maybe some, but certainly not capacity.
Not capacity.
Probably not even half capacity. So suddenly, these pay South Alabama to come play you, pay Austin Peay to come play you, so that you can make it part of a season ticket package and then sell it to fans. Well, if you can't have but a small number and maybe the number zero fans, those games are not moneymakers anymore. They're money losers.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you want to play them? Beyond that, let's say you're Kentucky. You got all the money in the world. So you're testing your players when they come on campus. You're testing them regularly. You're testing your players day before a game, testing your players day after a game, test. But you also have 9 bye games on your schedule. And by definition, those are schools that don't have all the money in the world. They can't test as regularly as you do. They can't afford it, which is going to be the case, by the way. How comfortable are you bringing them onto your campus and playing against them when you know that team hadn't been tested in a week? I'm not comfortable doing that if I'm a head coach. So who benefits from this at all? if you believe, like I believe, that every decision in college athletics is motivated by money, well, pushing the college football, college basketball season back to January and eliminating the non-league portion of your schedule, that's a money decision. Because you eliminate all those bye games, because under normal circumstances, they are money makers. But if you can't have, if you can't fill your arena up, they're not money makers for you anymore. Plus, you're putting your team at risk, probably more often than not, against a team that hasn't been tested nearly enough. So it's not smart from a money perspective. It's not smart from a health perspective. If I were betting right now, that's what I would bet on. That the college basketball season, that's scheduled to start November 5th, November 6th, wherever it is, it will not start November 5th or November 6th. They will do it. You'll go back to this Rick Pitino. And by the way, I've been, not to pat myself on the back, although I'm happy to do it when I can. Mm-hmm. I've been saying this for months. Check the podcast. It's a sensible thing to do. But I promise you, when they do it, this Rick Pitino tweet that some people were getting their jokes off on, it'll be a tweet that people go, oh, back on July 1st, Rick Pitino said this is what we should do, and this is exactly what we're going to do. Again, it buys you time, although most people don't think there's going to be a vaccine here by January. It hasn't been ruled out. It seems unlikely, but it's possible. But either way, it gives us more time to try to get this virus under control. And beyond all that, it eliminates a bunch of unnecessary games that are only there under normal circumstances to create revenue for power programs. And given that they can't create revenue, at least in theory, they're not going to be able to, because you're not going to be able to sell a full season ticket package. What is the point of playing the games? It makes sense on multiple levels. That's why ultimately I would assume that's what we end up doing.
Story number two.
The Ivy League early this morning confirmed more or less a report from yesterday that said they are considering moving their fall sports to the spring semester. Here's what the statement says. It says, with return to campus protocols still being developed and introduced by Ivy League institutions, the Council of Ivy League Presidents intends to announce a final decision, regarding the status of intercollegiate athletic activity for the fall term 2020 on July 8th. That decision will be communicated first to Ivy League directors of athletics, coaches and student athletes, followed by the wider Ivy League campus community, media, alumni, and the public. July 8th is next Wednesday. So a week from today, the Ivy League is going to decide one way or another what they're going to do with their fall sports, including football. And the reason I do think this is important is, as I pointed out yesterday, the Ivy League was the first college conference to pull the trigger on its basketball season. It was on that Tuesday morning, a full day before the NBA shut down, the Ivy League announced they weren't going to try to play without fans. They were not going to hold their conference tournament at all. And when they announced that, there was an incredible amount of backlash, even from some Ivy League coaches. But the next day, Rudy Gobert tests positive, NBA season suspended. Day after that, NCAA tournament canceled. And so what I think is worth noting here is that the Ivy League, they knew what was coming before anybody else. They pulled the plug before the NBA, before any other college conference. They knew what they were doing. Even when they were criticized for doing it in real time, they knew what they were doing. And so if you hear next Wednesday that they've decided they can't play football this fall, it's a good indication that they know what they're doing and that they feel like whatever risk is involved is not worth the possible reward. It is worth pointing out that the reward for Ivy League football from a revenue perspective is not nearly what the reward is for SEC football or Big Ten football. And so different people making these decisions might be motivated by different things. How much money is Ivy League or Ivy League institutions or the Ivy League in general leaving on the table by pushing football back to January? Not much, maybe nothing. But with the SEC, it's a lot of money. With the Big Ten, it's a lot of money. And ultimately, that could be why two different leagues make two different decisions, but I'm really anxious to hear what the Ivy League decides to do next Wednesday, because if they decide not to play football, it's at least an indication that maybe the other football leagues should decide something similar.
Story number three.
Bradley Beal spoke with the media earlier today and shared a story from a couple of years ago when he was pulled over in the D.C. area. And it's just the latest story of a million stories we've heard like this. But I do think these are stories that are important to hear as we continue the conversation about racial injustice in this country and how people who look like me, when they're pulled over, tend to have a better go at it than people who look like Bradley Beal, an African-American man in the United States of America. These are Bradley Beal's words straight from his mouth. He said, I was pulled over, and it was an unlawful search. The cop said my tint was too dark, and so I guess that gave him a reason to search the car. I was being respectful, so we stepped out of the car, my wife and I, and one of my friends at the time. We all stepped out, and we sat on the side of the highway, whatever that cement block thing is on the side of the highway. That's where we sat. So we're sitting on that, and I asked the officer if I could put my hood up, because I'm literally on the side of the highway, and there's traffic and people slowly driving by, looking at it like, what's going on over there? Who's that? So seeing that, I'm like, all right, I'll just ask the officer if I can put my hood up. And the officer said, for what? And I said, I would just like not to be seen out in public. And then the cop says, well, who are you? What do you do? And I say, sir, you've seen my driver's license. I hope you would know by now that my name is Bradley Beal. But as far as what I do, I play basketball for the Washington Wizards. And so a complete left turn. His next question was, well, how much money do you make in a year? And I didn't want to be a smartass, but I just said, officer, I'm not trying to be a smart aleck, but I think I make more money than you per year. And then he said, well, I can arrest your ass right now.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.